The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally too awesome. Time to transport into Transformation Tuesday as we seek first God's kingdom, God's glory, God's honor, and all for God. First up, we examine if you and I are deers, that's in like antelope, deers, or not. If we don't thirst for God now, we're really going to dislike heaven. Pretty simple. Next, who is your ultimate authority? And is that authority for everything in every area in your life? And the wrong answer will lead you into Sintopia. And finally, who is staying in the motel of our minds? Are these thoughts lodging with us, or are they just staying for the night? We check the guest list because bad guests have got to go.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You know you can text us, or you can call us. That's kind of what the cool thing is now. So if you want to text us, it's 214-210-8483. If you want to call us, it's 972-445-0770. There are four main reasons to utilize these numbers, and they have nothing to do with the atomic football. Here is the first reason. The first reason is if you have a praise report or a prayer request would be another reason, or a pop question that we might be able to answer, or even trivia responses. Here will be our first trivia question for those that are ready. And if you call in, just keep in mind, Terrific T, ready to go. Here we go. First trivia question. After Jesus' trial, what color of robe was put on him? Remember, he had his kind of weird trial, and then they put a robe on him. What was the color? If you know the answer, you can text it in, 214-210-8483, or call it in, 972-445-0770. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's the only show on the entire broadcast network for Crawford. Not professional. We're like the last. We're at the bottom. When they have professional, it just says David Spoon as an asterisk at the very bottom. Here's the bottom line, though. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple things to start off with. Nobody forgets, and we cannot afford to forget, our DNA. And the DNA that for the Christian is to draw closer to the Lord, D, N, never be ashamed, A, always be ready. Those are major components for our DNA and how we should be. All right, if you know the trivia question, you can answer it. We are going to do our Yiddish dictionary. So I'm going to give it up for our Yiddish dictionary intro sound. Here we go.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ve'nisrecha.
That's so great.
I was trying to pronounce it. I got everything right towards the end.
That's so good, though. You did such a great job, T. Excellent. All right, first Yiddish word for today. See, this is just expanding your horizons, giving you that opportunity. For those that don't know why I do this, I was born and raised Jewish and became a Christian. I have a Baptist, Pentecostal, and Charismatic ordination, which means I'm just as confused as you, but we're all trying to get into the kingdom. We just get there kicking and screaming and dragging. Let's be honest. The Yiddish word is mishpach. Mishpach. Can you say that? Mishpach. And then some people say it's mishpach, mishpok, mishpaka. You know, it's like very close.
Is there a K at the end?
Yeah, there is kind of a K, and sometimes you pronounce it. If you're my mom, you don't pronounce it because, well, first of all, she's not alive. And then the second reason you don't pronounce it is because Detroit Yiddish has got its own little spin. It's kind of like a slang within a slang. Man, you just got to get used to it. All right, depending on who you're talking to, which is ironic, it literally means family. The Yiddish word doesn't refer to your blood relatives like you'd think, though. It's more about close friends, close family, people that really aren't blood relatives, but they're a part of your clan. They're a part of your group. They're a part of who you are and what you are. So there you go. Okay? Another educational moment on the David Spoon Experience. Keep in mind our trivia question. What was the color of the robe they put on Jesus after his trial? Some trial. Anyhow, we'll get to that. And then in the next segment, we actually have something called politics. Remember, poly, many, ticks, blood-sucking insects. We'll get to that in a few minutes. First, let's look at Joshua 13:33. But the tribe of Levi... To the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance as God had promised to them. So there is this understanding that in our country, in our America, which is a fantastic country, and we have the same thing that we say to most people. If you don't like it, usually there's a bus leaving north, south, east, or west somewhere. And if you don't like Texas, boy, you got your own problems. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been all over. You should be appreciating Texas. That's all I can say to you, just real clearly. But the bottom line is, in Israel's existence, there were 12 tribes, and they had different portions of land because you had a lot of people, and you had to do that. You had to kind of split people up to the north, south, east, west, give them different direction, give them different space, so on and so forth, okay? But for the tribe of Levi, Levi were the people that were not the pastors, okay? So I want you to get away from that thinking, like, oh, well, that's like the pastor people, the professionals and stuff. Uh-uh. The tribe of Levi were the people that did do the service in the kingdom, did do the service for God, but they loved God. They were impassioned by God. In other words, the things of the world did not pull them in. They did not see the rewards of this earth as being their greatest rewards. And as an entire tribe, they had a pure, loving devotion to God. I've got a message for you that nobody's probably ever said to you, and I'll go out on the limb and say it, and you can just blame me, and if you have to go to counseling for it, you can just blame me and send the bill to somebody in my family. I'm not going to pay it. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is every Christian who loves Jesus Christ and loves the kingdom and loves to obey and loves to respond and loves to share and loves to be a part of the work of God and loves to see the kingdom advance, you're a Levite. That's the whole key. Because if you think God's just taking people into heaven who are just like, oh yeah, God, he's okay. He's not going to spend eternity with those people. He's spending eternity with people that want to be with him. And what's amazing is that he wants to be with us, which is, I think, the most amazing part. That's the miraculous part, is I wouldn't spend eternity with me if you paid me. Okay, I'm just saying. But the idea is that they're impassioned by God. They love him. Now, when you get into Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, David is pretty much going out there and saying, you know, I'm from the tribe of Judah, and I get it, but man, it's God. It's God, God, God. And then you have Moses, and you think about the depth of this. Moses, after all the stuff that he's seen with God, after all of these interactions with God, he has spent so much time with God, his face is glowing. Okay? I mean, that's like you're spending a lot of time with God if you walk out and your face is like a light bulb, right? And you know what he said, even after his face was glowing? I want more. Because in the presence of God, in the connection with God, there is this creator creation fulfillment that you cannot find anywhere else. And that's why you'll hear me say on the show, continually, I try to push people, including myself, closer and closer and closer in. Why? Because that is always the right answer. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You think, well, what's the gain? He's closer. So if to live is Christ and then he dies, he's even closer. That's the passion. Because the closer we are to Jesus, and nothing separates us, and nothing stands in the way of that, the better our existence is. Because remember what John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the Creator. And by him all things were created. And when you connect with Jesus, when you connect with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when you make that, what's the word I'm looking for? Merger. When you make that merger or that marriage, the fulfillment of every possible desire and passion is met. And what takes place is people are like, well, you know, we're Americans and, you know, I'm a Christian. I like baseball, apple pie, Chevrolet, this, that, whatever. And it's like that's kind of like a cool little jingle, but it's a very dangerous concept to think that because you're an American, you're a Christian. We already know that's not true. Just turn on your television. I think you can pretty much figure that out. The idea, though, is to have this passion. And you think, but Dave, I don't have that. I mean, you sound like a nut job, so how do I get that passionate kind of element? Here's my answer to you. Don't ask me. Ask God. Say, I want more. I need to figure out more of you. I mean, David in his Psalms, right, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. If you understand that statement, you just want to have him give you more. If you don't understand that statement, ask him to help you. What does that mean? Like the deer is panting for the water, like the deer is so thirsty, just needs to have more water. That's what you need to have with God. We're not talking about religion or religiosity or going through the motions. I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm talking about you and God. I don't care if it's in a closet, closed door, in your car. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're taking a bath. Don't matter. Ask God, help me get closer. Help me to get to that place where you are a passion. Because I'm going to tell you right now, heaven is all about that. And all you're doing is prepping. You're just preparing for what it's going to be. And it's going to be so awesome, better than streets of gold. Better than streets of gold. How cool is that? All right. After Jesus' trial, what color of robe was put on him? The answer is purple. The answer is purple. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to do a little bit of politics. You better get ready. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am, he reached down and see.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Who's having more fun than I am? Nobody. Did you hear that commercial? What'd you think? Was that
Come on. I liked it. I really did.
I mean, it's just, what were you thinking? I haven't written one of those in a long time. It was fun to write it. It's just, see, these are the things that go on in my head. This is why I need prayer. There's no mystery there. Yeah, it was not dropped in my head. I fell on my head 11 feet straight down. Don't forget, you can reach out to us, 214-210. You'll have to hear that commercial again to catch everything in that. 214-210-8483. Excellent job by Jennifer voicing that. Also, 972-445-0770. Here is the second trivia question that we have for today. Which book of the Bible says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked? Right along that theme that we were just talking about, having this passion and this desire for God, right connected to that. Let's keep in mind our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget, at He Must Increase Ministry, that is the place, hemustincrease.org, that is the place you want to give. So for those that are sitting there thinking, well, should I give? Here, let me help you. Yes. That's my answer. Now, we're doing pretty good, but we just need a little bit of push. It always happens the same way. I think it's like forever and a day, this same kind of thing. We're just asking people, if you can step up, step up. If you can't, pray that the Lord would bless us and send stuff towards us. That's all we're asking. Just be a part of it. You know, you join something by praying for it. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1:11 and if you look at Romans 15:30, you find out that you join a struggle by praying for it. Okay? That's how you do it. And what's important about that is that you participate in it and become a part of it. Okay? All right. Now, as you know, I have not done a ton. I think this would be a fair statement. And I think that Terrific T will testify to this. I've not done a ton of political statements. I've been pretty careful about that. It's more when the Bible gets involved or when something is just kind of grievous. I think that's what grievous. How about irritating? When something is really irritating, remember that guy just always trying to say the word and then you come up with another word at the end. That's me. And here's what recently happened, and I'm going to give you my response to it, and you can work through it as you will. Okay. In other words, you don't have to agree with me. Just have to, you know, perhaps endure this position, but understand where this position comes from. So in the last couple of days, there has been a Supreme Court ruling. And if you are following some of the things that are taking place on the news, the Supreme Court ruling is all about the state of Nevada and two very interesting elements in there. In the Supreme Court ruling, they have defined it as casinos being able to be 50% capacity. And the numbers that have been used is if a casino can hold 500 people, then they can have 250 people. Okay? Got it. And everybody's social distancing and wearing masks. At the same time, if a church is 500 people and they are social distancing and wearing masks, they can only have a maximum of 50 people. Okay, so here's the trouble that we'll have here as we look at this. So a casino is considered essential. Okay, it's not that I don't think casinos can serve a purpose, okay? But you got to go kind of a long way, maybe perhaps a little more than one step to get me to think, wow, you know, going to the Mirage, that's essential. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I'm working through that. But then to turn around and say that the same, now listen to what I say to you, the same square footage and the same space cannot have 50%, but can have 10%. Just doesn't seem like to anybody in the universe. That doesn't seem right. So we do acknowledge that there are problems and that the COVID virus has been a real game changer for the way things happen in America. We do question why the COVID virus never shows up at a protest, never shows up at a casino, never shows up at any of those things. But at church, the COVID virus comes around and dances on the stage and leads worship. Nobody can quite figure this out primarily because it's dumb, and we're not that dumb, and we're all like going, what are you talking about? And we know that there's a ridiculousness. Now, what I like about our church that I go to is that the pastor, you know, went for a while and then said, okay, this is going to be a little goofy. And then that was it. And we were all like, yep, okay, we're with it. We're in it. And there's a question, and the people might even ask this question. Well, and we're going to discuss this in just a second. But, you know, is it worth it to go and worship in corporate than it is compared to worshiping at a distance? Here's my answer to you. I would hope that I would be willing to die for Jesus Christ, let alone go into a social setting, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and worship the Lord. And if from that purpose I do die, isn't it to my indirect advantage? Because then I go and be with the Lord? I mean, isn't that the real thing? This is why people got mad at me in 2012. They thought when Barack Obama was reelected president, they thought, oh my goodness, for sure, this is the Antichrist. I mean, if he was the Antichrist, he was the worst one ever. So anyway, let me just get into this. So they thought for sure it was the end. And my response, and people got mad at me, was, well, doesn't that mean that this speeds up the coming of the Lord? And isn't that what you want? People hung up on me. It's just like, I thought we wanted Jesus to come. Please come, Lord. Okay, anyway. So here's the thing that bothers me about the Supreme Court making a decision, everybody thinking, well, that's got to be it. It's the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is not God. Okay, did you hear what I said? The Supreme Court is not God. Let me read this to you, and you be the judge. You're able to evaluate. You be the judge. Here it is, the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peacefully to assemble and petition the government for the redress of grievances. In the First Amendment, the first two elements in the First Amendment are about religion and freedom and nothing being restrictive of them. Even before there is free speech, even before there is freedom of the press, even before there's the right to assemble is the freedom to exercise your religious beliefs. How do you miss this? If this was a multiple choice and the people at the Supreme Court said freely express, they'd have got that wrong on a test. You'd been like, wrong, incorrect. You know, remember that big red X? Exactly. It's like, what is wrong? What are you talking about? So here's the key from a scriptural point of view, because you might be saying, oh, Dave, now that's the authority of the land. Okay, fine. Let's just look at Acts chapter 4, not yet chapter 5, chapter 4. When they ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? The fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place from them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem. But so they won't speak any further, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. By the way, the council was their political rulers. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Don't assemble. Watch verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, well, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. So Peter's really nice about it and says, okay, well, you know, that's not really going to fly because we're going to follow God. And as powerful as you guys are, you're not God. Guys, you don't have a heaven to put us in, and we're following Jesus. Now, the very next chapter is where you get the 5:27-29 where they said, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in the name, yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intended to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter, the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The context is these are two situations to the same group, two situations. They told them, shut up, don't talk about Jesus. And they said, yeah, that's not going to work. And then in the next chapter, they said, didn't we tell you not to talk about Jesus? And they said, yeah, that's not going to work. Why? Because if the Lord is a part of your life, he's number one. He's your authority. I'm just like, but that's the rules of the land. Right up until they transgress the commandments of God. If the government told you to go shoot people because you were ordered to go murder them, would you do it? No. Why? Because the law of God is greater than the law of man. That's why. You think, well, we treat people poorly all the way. Yes, when we're walking in our sinfulness, we treat people poorly all the time. You're right. We do. But that has nothing to do with it. And to forbid people to gather to worship together is contrary to God's commands. You know who else did that? Pharaoh. When God said, hey, I want my people to come out and worship me. And Mo went, hey, God wants people to come out and worship him. And then Pharaoh went, no. And God said, can you count to 10? I know I can. It's like, what are you people thinking? So the real law of all land is he who created the land, the law of God, okay? Now, you have to figure out and judge with yourself and figure out what you can do or how you're going to do it. I'm not encouraging you at all to break the law. I'm simply saying that the ultimate authority for every man, woman, and child is the law of God, period. End of argument, period, okay? All right. Okay, trivia question. Do you like that? That's not bad. Trivia question. Which book of the Bible says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked? Psalms. Psalm 84, verse 10. There you go. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family Trauma Specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. Until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly, and that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finished my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
On Christ the solid rock, I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, so that was a little bit of fun. I mean, I have a little bit of fun. It was really funny. We're talking about church. I'm speaking at a church on Sunday. That's even funnier. So go to the website, our website, hemustincrease.org, if you want to get that info. I enjoyed doing that. I hope people got something from it. Hope it's helpful. I can tell you every argument you will ever have in your entire life, including with yourself, will always be answered by one question that you have to ask right off the bat. You ready for this question? This one question. You have to answer this question. Ready? What is the person's authority that you're talking to? Okay, so let's say you're having an argument with a friend, and they go, blah, 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 and you go, blah, 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 and they go, blah, 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 and you go, blah, 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 blah. You just say, what's your authority? And that's when you find out it's them, it's science, it's a cookbook, it's Play-Doh. I don't know. But my point is, if your authority is the Word of God, you're standing in a good place. That's where you get the God created the universe, he can write a book theory. So it all actually works together, believe it or not. All right, we're going to be doing our Kimberly thing in a minute. Not quite yet. Let me make sure we get to the next trivia question. Don't forget, you can reach us 214-210-8483 by text. You can call us at 972-445-0770. Still have people calling the text number. Got to move people away from that somehow. All right. Philip. In the book of Acts, Philip had four daughters. They all had a spiritual gift. What was the spiritual gift? 214-210-8483-972-445-0770. I kind of feel bad for the people at the church who don't have never heard me speak because they've never heard me speak and I'm just helping the pastor out. I just feel bad for them. 40 minutes, they'll never get back. Anyhow, let's do this. Let's remember hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so don't forget, if you're looking to support the ministry through prayer, we just take it. If you want to give, that's a great way to do it. If you want to, I mean, you can't really donate a plant because I can't do much with it, although we used to give away plants from the office back in the day, and people would have to come down and pick them up, and it was my cheap way of making it interesting. Hey, I'm working on it, folks. I'm working on it. We'd really like to be able to give away gifts and stuff like that, study Bibles and different things like that, but we are just not there yet. Okay. Let us give proper respect and acknowledgement for our ministry partner.
My house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so.
Kimberly Ellis from Fathom Realty. So here's the deal. If you have any questions about real estate and you're like, hey, I'm thinking I might want to sell. Hey, I'm thinking I might want to buy. Hey, I'm thinking I might want to sell and buy or buy and sell. I'd really like to talk to somebody. Then get in touch with Kimberly. Her number is 903-48-HOMES. Great phone number. 903-48-HOMES. Homes, and you can reach out to her. She'll be glad to talk to you. She loves kingdom stuff. She loves brothers and sisters in the Lord. From a real estate point of view, she can help first-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales, doesn't matter what it is, but she probably cannot help you buy a piece of land that has gold in it. I don't think. I don't know. I've never really asked her. I guess I'll ask her next time. Here's the bottom line. Reach out to her, 903-48-HOMES, 903-48-HOMES. Talk to Kimberly. Tell her you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. Okay, so the trivia question that is on the table, I guess it's a table. Philip had four daughters who had a special spiritual gift. You can tell when the author wrote that, that they're not Pentecostal or charismatic. A special spiritual gift. Okay. What was the spiritual gift that the four daughters had? Let's just leave that there. We'll move forward into our next segment. I hope you are all doing well. I am praying for each and every one of you. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. Have you ever gone to a hotel? Ever gone to a hotel and gone, maybe I should have went to a different hotel because the people that were around you were like, I don't know. You know, maybe they're just cutting loose for the weekend, or maybe they forgot that other human beings exist on the planet, whatever it might be. Jeremiah 4:14 says this, wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you? Ah, aha. The Hebrew word lodge is, believe it or not, is the sound of lun. Lun. So lamed, and then it's got the sig thingy, and then it's got the tav thingy. Okay, so here's the bottom line. See, that's how good I'm getting. I'm really getting good. It's like coming back. Anyhow, the word means to stop over and stay the night, as in to live there and bunk. Okay, and so Jeremiah says something superbly fascinating, directly in line with 2 Corinthians 10. He says, how long are you going to let wicked thoughts lodge in you? Let's understand something. You don't have to have bad thoughts come in your brain and stay there. I will say a lot of Christians think, oh, well, the devil never gives wicked thoughts. Really? You're the only person then, because he tried to do wicked things to everybody, starting with Adam and Eve, was pretty successful, by the way, with Adam and Eve, even tried to do it to Christ. Here's the bottom line. The wicked thoughts, the bad thoughts come, and they're supposed to be purged, kicked out, removed, blocked, stopped, pulled down, whatever it is, resisted. That's fine. But sometimes the enemy throws something at you, the world throws something at you, or your flesh throws something at you, and you let it lodge there. You put it up for the night, so to speak. And you know what that does? That creates problems. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You don't have to let bad thoughts sit in your brain. I will give Oral Roberts the credit because I know it was said before him, but I just really don't know who. So I got to go to the last person that I know for sure. And that is, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from making a nest in your hair. I'm like, okay. It's like, okay, I got it. In other words, you can't stop how it pops up, but you don't have to give it a bedding. You don't have to lodge it there. You don't have to let it sleep with you. You don't have to stay with you. And that's this whole process of being careful of what you allow in the left and right ear, which kind of floats into your mind. That's why you hear me warn you. And myself, not just you. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I warn myself. My wife warns me, and I warn her about this ridiculousness of letting too much garbage into our brain and thereby just kind of like wiping us out. It's like, because that stuff gets in there, it stays in there. Then when you do get it out, it always leaves a yuck or a gook. And it's like, and then it takes a while to clean that out. The premise here is to understand that we've got to be careful what we let stay in the motel of our minds. That's, I mean, that's not even that complex. Even, listen to this, even as innocent as this, and I'm not trying to create legalism, so as you guys know that pretty well, but even when Saul was looking for the donkeys and couldn't find them and they ran into Samuel, Samuel said, "As for the donkeys which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them. They have been found, for whose the desire of all Israel? It's you, it's your father's household." So Saul was just consumed with finding these donkeys before he was king. And then the prophet comes across and he goes, "The donkeys were found. Don't think about it. Don't create anxiety. Don't sit there and give mind time to it. It's done. It's a done deal. Let it go." And see, I think some of us have a hard time doing that. Let it go. Did somebody hurt you? I'm very sorry they hurt you. I pray that you will fully recover. Let it go. Don't sit there and harbor on it. Build a monument to it. Create an altar to it. Worship it. Because the only person that's going to hurt is you. I was like, That's what forgiveness is all about. Okay? That's part of that process. And I do take exception. Not that you don't learn from people hurting you, but I do take exception to people who say, "Well, I forgive you, but I haven't forgotten." Well, but the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs, so you haven't forgiven. Okay? It's, don't get mad at me. I didn't write this book. There's a few things in here I would alter. The Lord would, of course, take my arm, stick it in my nose, and then every time I sneezed, I'd be waving. So that's not how that goes. How it goes is you go, "Yes, sir, and help me get there because I'm not there." Here's the biggest part of this. Don't let these dark, wicked, bad, take the life out of you thoughts lodge, take up residency, live in your mind. I don't care if you have to go watch a cartoon. Which, I mean, you know you should be worshiping or reading the word or stuff like that. But I'm just saying, I don't care if it has to be something non-mobile. I don't care if you look at a carrot. Don't let those things become a part of you. Because the longer it sits in your mind, the more of a stronghold it becomes, the more difficult it becomes to take it down. Well, that's why you got to be, you know, kind of Johnny or Janet on the spot and know what the truth is. So that lies don't take lodging in your mind or wicked thoughts or anything else. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. All right. All right, let's answer the trivia question. Philip had four daughters who had spiritual gifts. What were their spiritual gifts? This is found in Acts chapter 21. Their spiritual gifts were prophecy. They were prophesying. All four daughters, which that is pretty unusual, that in and of itself, but kind of cool in its own little way. All right, folks, we are going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. All of mankind, destroying everyone
and everything we find. Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903 703-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay... He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Rename the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Hey, don't forget, livinginhisgrip.com is a place to get some of our music intro and out for free. No cost on there under the Hymn, H-Y-M-N project. Bill texted me in and just said that saying regards birds overhead. Probably goes back at least to Martin Luther. I think he's right, but I could not remember specifically. I think it goes even earlier than that, but we'll give it to Martin Luther and thank Bill for just kind of giving us a correction because Oral is a little bit after. Okay, he's a lot after. All right, let's get into our last trivia question and see if people are on target for this one. A little tougher. Remember, we get into this point, and it does get a little harder, just letting you know. Here's the trivia question for those that may want to answer. Here we go. In the book of Revelation, who held the key to the abyss, which is the bottomless pit? I'm not looking for an interpretation. I'm just looking for what it says in the text. So that might help you right there, okay? That's probably the best way I can say that. Who held the key to the bottomless pit? In fact, just to make sure I'm not going to say that wrong, I'm going to pull up the direct reference and have it ready to go because these are the kind of things people will go, wait, it's, and then you don't want to do that, you know. But I think somebody's calling in already. So we're not even going to get a chance to get to that. Wow, that's a pretty good one. Okay, so there's a particular thing. Again, not looking for interpretation, just looking for what the text says. Here we go. Oh, hang on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, this is Deborah from Dallas.
Hi, Deborah. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm really happy I got through the very tough weather to get down to the station. It was pouring, but I just felt like,
wow.
Nope. I don't want an arc. I just want to get there in one piece.
Run, no doubt. Well, I'm hoping, is it Michael?
Okay, so... It's possible it was Michael, but what was Michael's quote-unquote occupation? What was he?
The archangel?
That's correct. He was an angel, and that's the key. So, it says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven having the key of the abyss. That's why some people think, well, that could be Michael, and some other people think, well, maybe that's Christ, and so on. I was just looking for angel, but you got there because you were on that track, and you hit it on the head. So, good job, and I appreciate that. Is this the first time you ever called in?
Thank you. God bless you.
Is it the first time you called in? Oh, I think we lost her. Okay. All right. I think that's the first time. I don't remember hearing from her. Yeah. See, we have a little line feedback. That's fine. You live. Good job. So here's what it says again. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding his hand a great chain. Okay? Not looking for interpretation. Just looking for the text. Wait till I do Revelation from the futurist point of view and from the idealist point of view simultaneously. People actually like that because they get to see the different points of view side by side without me taking a side. I know it's really weird, and you think, no, you can't do that, and be like, I've done it about 20 times. You can do it. Yes, you can. All right, here we go. Is there anything else we need to cover? Oh, we need to cover the website, right? Okay, what's our website? Give us the key. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Excellent job. Thank you very much, T. Great job. Couple things to tell you, then we'll get into our last teaching. Today is National Hamburger Day. You cannot go wrong with a hamburger. Now, I can't have as many hamburgers, but you can't go wrong with a hamburger.
Yummy.
There you go. National Water Park Day. You like water parks? Water parks are fun, right?
It's my favorite. I don't like the music parks. Just full
just
on.
Just the water ones?
Yep.
I like those too. It's Milk Chocolate Day and Chocolate Day, and there's a couple of different chocolate things there, but nobody can seem to make up their mind, so I'm not saying much about chocolate other than I love chocolate. Okay, besides the point. All right.
I wish I had the SpongeBob guy that says chocolate.
Chocolate!
Yes.
Okay. It was really funny. There's a character called Tick. You ever seen the Tick? He's the blue character. And he goes, spoon! That's so funny. It's like, hey, I take it where I can get it. 1933, first singing telegram a fan sent to Rudy Valley as a musical birthday greeting. That's how the singing telegram came about. Who would know that? Last thing I want to tell you is this. I thought this was amazing. In 1943, there was coffee rationing under President Franklin D. Roosevelt that had ended on this day in 1943, but it used to be 1 pound of coffee per family for every 5 weeks. Nowadays, it would be 1 pound of coffee per person, per day, per family, right? You can never pull that off now. You just couldn't do it. It's like people would be like, oh, no, you can take a lot of things away. You're not taking the coffee. I mean, forgiveness is in the blood. The waking up is in the coffee. All right, so let's keep that in mind. Here we go. Last teaching. Don't get offended. If you're legalistic, you probably hate this show anyway. In regards to our feelings, did we do our trivia question? Oh, she answered the trivia question. The angel. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 45, very short, very straight. This is what Jeremiah the prophet told Baruch, son of Neriah, in the fourth year of Joachim, king of Josiah, king of Judah. Here was what Jeremiah had dictated. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to you, Baruch. He said, woe to me, or you said, woe to me. The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and I find no rest. Have you ever said that to God? Woe to me. The Lord has added to my sorrow and my pain, and I am worn out and I am groaning and I find no rest. Verse 4, the Lord said, say this to him. This is what the Lord says. I will overthrow what I have built and uproot what I have planted throughout the land. Should you seek great things for yourself, seek them not. For I will bring disaster on all people, declares the Lord. But wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life. Okay, now, people hear that text and they go, what? I mean, that doesn't exactly sound like uplifting. But you'd be wrong, and here's why. Here's the key to this text. So Baruch is like, working with Jeremiah and known to complain a little bit. And he's like, woe is me. The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and I find no rest. And he's always doing the same thing you and I do. Oh, my goodness. Another day? Oy vey. I mean, that's what it is, right? And so the Lord's very kind and says, you know, first of all, you're seeking great things for yourself. That's fantastic. Stop doing that. That's the first thing the Lord says. And the second thing the Lord says is, I'm gonna blow things out, but I'm going to save you. And you see, here's the thing. The thing is, I don't want to say this. I'm going to say this right. If God is going to judge a group or a people or a nation or whatever, everybody's going to get, you know, caught up in that judgment. But in the midst of that judgment, God saves his own people, hence Noah and the ark, even though he judged the planet. But there was a lot of you know, darkness there that took place on the planet, but God saved his people. It doesn't matter what the ultimate fantasy land is that you have in your Christian thinking. This is the important thing to remember. God's plan overrides our Christian fantasy land. In him we're chosen, and we've been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. But it's his purpose, his will, his plan, not ours. And so God's going to save you. God's going to deliver you. God's going to give you grace. God's going to protect you. God's going to love you. God's going to watch over you. But it'll be the way he does it and in his situation and how he determines it. 2 Corinthians 4:17, an unused passage, not unused, but maybe too unused, says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." The scriptures call our current troubles light and momentary. On top of that, in Romans 8:18, it says, "I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." And again, you get to find out that the sufferings that we go through and the momentary troubles that we go through, all of that is nothing. Because God's got something totally awesome for us. He's totally got us covered. He's totally got it, you know, that way. But that does not involve Christian fantasy land. And Christian fantasy land is you telling God what you think it should be for your life according to your wisdom. And so that sounds great, but that's not the plan. God's plan is the plan, and surrendering to God's plan is the plan. And people go, no, you got to tell the Lord what to do. Is that what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did he get on his hands and knees and says, this is what you're going to do, Father. You're going to just let this whole thing pass by me. I'm not even going through this. Or did Jesus say, you know, I'd like to not go through this, but not mine, but yours be done. Your will be done. Isn't that the right spirit, since we want to be like Jesus? Aha! See, there's the spoon. Aha! You get that? All right. Not Christian fantasy land, the plan of God. But what's coming for us so far outweighs the trouble and the pain, it don't matter. Not even comparable, okay? All right, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.